Man, woo, loud, really loud up here. I've turned myself down. I get too fired up. Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. Happy St. Patty's Day. I have a couple fun facts for you this morning, but before we get into it, let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, I thank you today that you will have your way in this place. You'll have your way in the lives of the people who are watching this morning, Lord, listening this morning. Lord, as these tapes and pastors' messages get replayed over and over and other ministers, Lord, that it will begin to sink into the hearts of your people. Father, this morning, our ears are open to hear. Our hearts are open to receive. Lord God, we are ready to do what you've called us to do, to continue to go forth and share the good news. Lord, this morning, I thank you right now that there's an anointing here that can break every yoke of bondage. There's just been a weight that's been on some of you and you just can't seem to shake it right this very moment. Just lift your hands up right where you're at. Father, I thank you that you've recognized this. They've been asking you, Lord, on how to overcome this obstacle. So Father, right this very moment, it is your will, it is your plan, it is your purpose to set captives free. So right now, by the power of your spirit, we break that bondage. We set the captives free, that these chains are not gonna hold them back any longer. And we give you the glory for it this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wasn't ready to even get started yet, but the Lord just put that on my heart. So we'll just go ahead and get started right now. Welcome, somebody, and you're in the right place today. And thank you so much, Pastor, Pastor Sue, for allowing me to preach the gospel. I've been fortunate enough to be coming to this church and knowing Pastor Don, Pastor Sue since the 1990s, early 1990s. I know I don't look that old. I know you're thinking to yourself, there's no way this guy's that old. I know, it's okay. But I am. Brenna likes to remind me, you know, every once in a while. We talk about like how old we are and the kids are out of, you know, in high school and Jack's 21 now and he's here with Gage, our brother Gage this morning. Gage is really trying to get that distinguished look, growing that fuzz around his face and stuff. But, you know, life goes by super fast. And I love, Brenna has this one little note thing and on the top of it, it's just to take notes and write things down. It says, seize the day. And it's one of those Latin terms, carpe diem, seize the day. And I feel like Esther was born for such a time as this and we are born for such a time as this. This morning, the title of the message is Green Light. It's St. Patty's Day, and so I thought we might as well do something green. I have some unfortunate news for you, though. St. Patrick was actually known for wearing blue, so I don't know where all this green stuff came up from, but just in case any of you guys have any wild ideas and these young people are old, don't try to get me. I got Jane made sure that I was set this morning. Nobody's going to try to come get me, so she gave me a little green ribbon. But for the rest of us, the original St. Patrick's, he wore blue. I know, it's hard to believe. But I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, just St. Patrick's Day, but he was a fifth century. I was like, how did he become a saint? What is it? All the celebration about green beer, green rivers in Chicago, and all this other stuff, I'm like, what was this really all about? So I didn't take too much time to read the whole story, but I just read a couple things real quick, and I thought it was interesting. He was a fifth century missionary to Ireland and later served as a bishop there. He is credited with bringing Christianity to parts of Ireland and was probably partly responsible for the Christianization of the Picts and the Anglo-Saxons. He's one of the patron saints of Ireland. It also said his father was a deacon in the Christian church, which at that time was widely accepted throughout Britain. In his adult life, St. Patrick worked to spread Christianity throughout the British Isles. As part of his mission, he built churches, including the first churches in Ireland, as a matter of fact. Couple quick facts about St. Patrick. He actually wasn't Irish. I know, it's crazy. Slavery was what actually brought him to Ireland. The shamrock as an Irish symbol is said to have been popularized by St. Patrick himself. He actually wore blue, not green, I told you that. And it says he probably didn't drive all the snakes out of Ireland. That was funny stuff. But green light. So many times as Christians, I feel like, yes, we can go ahead and grab a hold of all the scripture that says, wait upon the Lord and you're going to renew your strength. Those who wait upon God, you know, we have to wait. We have to sit in a moment of prayer or meditation and asking God to pour in an intercession with God to get a hold of what he's trying to pour into our heart and our spirit. But there's so many times we're just waiting for the Lord's prompting. And I'm here to tell you today, we have the green light. Every time you go to a stop sign, you're going to remember that there's always the green light's going to come. You might be there for a moment. Sometimes the ones in Folsom seem to last a little bit longer than the ones up here in El Dorado County. Just saying. Don't go to Folsom. No, I'm just kidding. It's crazy some of the way that these red lights are. But as Christians, we have to realize that the red light is just for a moment. The green light's continuous. Until we need to make a change or something like that. But as Christians, so many times, we are at a red light. God, when you want me to do something, when you want me to share your word, when you want me to say, when you want me to do, then give me the green light. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God's given us the green light. And when it's a yellow and when it's a red, he will prompt you and redirect you for another green light. So this morning, it's been on my heart just so powerfully that the resurrection time, the season that we're in right now, and Lord help me to articulate this, but I just believe by the Holy Spirit, he's going to deliver to you exactly what you need to hear this morning by his Spirit, because that's what his word says. He is able, and he will distribute accordingly as he wills. But the power of God that rolled the stone away, raised him from the dead, that's in us. And I just been meditating on this over and over and over. Lord, if I believe this, if I truly believe this, which we do, how many of you believe? I believe, you believe. Then I just had to say, God, forgive me, because I find myself sometimes going through the motions, going through things and making excuses about why I'm not seeing what I feel like God is saying he's going to do in the earth. What stone is stopping you from walking out into your resurrected purpose and life in God? What stone is stopping you from allowing God to minister and flow through you? What an amazing statistic. 82% of people said they would come to church if they were invited. But 2% of people said what? They've never been invited, or? Only 2% have ever been invited. And only 2% of Christians actually invite people. And then what a powerful testimony of our discipleship program this morning. It's Anthony. And what powerful, because that's the steps of moving, allowing God to roll the stone, realizing we're going to read read some scriptures this morning, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it was one of them in Ephesians that says the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Another version says immeasurable. Everybody say immeasurable. He wants to do things in and through our lives to set captives free, to watch people get healed, to reach your family members. But we have to be in the position where it's like, Lord, I believe it. Sometimes we overthink things. I shouldn't say sometimes. All the time. We're overthinking things. We're getting in our own way. We're allowing our mind to reason on, is this really the will of God? Is this the right thing to do? The carnal mind, our own reasoning, is against. It says is at enmity. It is in opposition to the Spirit of God. So there's always this power struggle of, who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to the Spirit of God in me? Or am I going to listen to my carnal mind? They're always opposition. The Spirit versus the natural. What is God speaking to me? And what do I think in my mind that I want to do? The stones that are in the way of our life, of walking in his purpose and will, it could be a stone of disappointment. Maybe you believed for something and you didn't see it come to pass. Maybe you're discouraged because it's been so long or it's been delayed. But we have to recognize the condition. We're going to have courage. We're going to have confidence and commitment to overcome these things. See, we fight the same thing as the apostles and everybody else. Jesus went out. He said, listen, go throw out your nets. And what is the first thing he did? Peter came back. Lord, we've been fishing all night. Fishing's hard work. They're pulling nets. They're doing that. I mean, it is hard work. Some of you watch those shows. Those guys are working. Working, working, working. Gets back. Jesus, wait a minute. You want to go throw? We've been doing that. We've already tried that. Lord, I spoke your word before and I didn't see it come to pass. Lord, I believe for this. I didn't see it come to pass. Lord, I prayed that prayer before. I didn't see it come to pass. Look at their life. I've been praying for them and it's getting worse. Nevertheless, everybody say nevertheless. This is where we step into a whole new level. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. We walk according to his word. We can't allow the fact that we toiled and tried and prayed and didn't see something happen to allow us to get into this lifestyle of going through the motions, being Christians, but not fulfilling our purpose and destiny in him. Because guess what? The most exciting, fun, joy you're going to experience is when you're walking according to purpose. All the gifts and all these different miracles and things that happened, you read the book of Acts, they didn't happen in the church. They happened outside these four walls. When we expect God to move and through us, it doesn't have to be spooky. It doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I see you, thus said the Lord. Be yourself. God wants to work in and through you. Yes, we're all weird and have personality. But guess what? God created you that way in your own uniqueness. Walk according to his word. Walk with the green light, knowing that he's going to do it. Amen? So let's go to Matthew real quick. I got to read a couple of these scriptures for you. And let's see here. Matthew chapter 8. So I loved how he was talking about the discipleship class and how this learning, because it really goes with one of the things I want to talk about this morning. So I'll give you a quick backstory while you guys are getting to Matthew chapter 8. Eli, would you put that up for me? Actually looks like a pyramid, but it's called the cone of learning. And I've been taking some classes lately. I want to get certified as an instructor in the fire service and kind of recognized by the state of California. So you have to take certain classes. And so I've been doing classes lately and I'm just thinking, Lord, how is it that we can hear so much and it's so hard for us to implement these things that we're learning? And when you started talking about that testimony, it was just like ignited in me, like, this is so powerful because we all have different ways of learning. We have different learning styles. We have different learning tendencies and things like that. But this is The Cone of Learning by Edgar Dale. And it talks about what you read. At the very end, it says 90% of what we both say and do is actual retention and we're actually doing it. So we understand as Christians, faith comes by what? Faith comes by hearing. I want to engage you this morning because when we are saying it, we're seeing it, and we're hearing it, then it's making a more of effect on our learning process. This comes from like psychology and all these other things, but they have some truth to it. And there's been tons of research and studies on how we learn. And so each one of us has our own learning style, but basically 10% of what you read, they say you're going to remember in 2 weeks from now. How many think that's very good? No. 10%, I didn't get great grades in high school all the time, but I know 10% is not good, okay? So 50% of what we hear and see, if you look in the middle, is what we're gonna tend to remember after 2 weeks. But 90% of what we both say and do after 2 weeks. We're developing, it doesn't matter how old we are, we can develop new habits, we can develop new skills, we can develop things. And the reason I show you this is because God wants to take us to another level, to experience and walk in resurrection power. Because we believe. We believe. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe it. Most controversial thing throughout history was the stone that was rolled away, that Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God, that he's seated. He's up there. And we're raised with him. Sitting at the right hand of God. He's alive. So we don't serve a dead God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So when we recognize this, the scripture that we were reading this morning is Matthew 7, actually, not chapter 8 yet. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what? Does them. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon the rock. This morning, I'm just challenging myself. I'm excited. I'm motivated. I'm fired up because all the time I've been living for God, loving God, seeing God do miracles, sharing his goodness, sharing his love. I just know that I'm just scratching the surface. I'm just scratching the surface. And so I'm excited about this next season that God has for us as a body, as our church, for our community, for our world. It doesn't take long to look around and see that there's just devastation, destruction, brokenness. You know, there's some of us in here right now that we just need to allow God to heal our heart. Close your eyes for a moment. Father, this morning, I just thank you that you're the healer. Lord, there's wounds that I could see right this very moment from past experiences, disappointment, discouragements, and delays. Lord, that the stone is blocking the path for them to walk out of where they are into resurrected purpose. So Father, this morning, I thank you for healing virtue that flows from your throne, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, Lord, that their hearts would be healed, that they'd be able to forgive and release. Lord, we're not gonna hold on to our past. We're not gonna hold on to regrets or disappointments. Father, I thank you right now. You're the healer. Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That right this very moment, your anointing is giving them the grace and the boldness to forgive and to release so they can walk through the open door to their purpose in you. Lord, not that we're not doing everything we can do, Lord, that we're not going after you, but Father, there's more this morning. And so I ask you to roll the stone away so they can walk out in purpose, living and knowing that they don't have to look back. Lord, you said that Paul talked about forgetting those things which were behind him so he could press towards the mark of the high call in you. So Father, this morning, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's go over to Nehemiah real quick. I love Nehemiah chapter 2. So the first thing we have to recognize is the condition. We recognize the condition. We look around and we see devastation and destruction. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Then I said to them, you see the distress, you see the waste of Jerusalem, the gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall. There will be no more a reproach." I don't know about you, but I don't like seeing all the stuff around me that I know that God wants to do something about. They want to blame God. Insurance companies want to blame God for disasters. Oh, it was an act of God. It was an earthquake. Act of God. Okay, well, how about let's give God credit for doing great and mighty things, for restoration, for miracles, signs, wonders. Powerful story, power of your prayers. My mom was telling me last week, and this is something that I want to share with you as a group because it is so powerful, and this whole church was praying for my aunt. They said that she had cancer. We didn't realize the extent of it. It was in her throat, and I might be some of this, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was stage 4 cancer, they found out, and the doctor called her and told her that out of the whole Kaiser system, the whole thing, that not one other person has ever survived that cancer, ever. and we wonder if God's going to hear our prayers. We wonder if God still does miracles. We wonder if he's hearing us and he's doing what he said he would do. It's a miracle. Power of your prayers. Put her on the prayer thing. What are you praying about now? Believe that God is hearing your prayers. Believe he's going to do it. Don't be discouraged because it's delayed or you're disappointed because it didn't happen last time. We move forward. We don't always have all the answers. But he is doing his part. He's going to do what we ask him to do. We can't allow the different things that have happened to distract us and discourage us. When we recognize the condition, we want to rebuild. We want to continue. We want to grow, develop. And it's exciting to see these things. And so I was just excited to share with you that they're asking her to be part of the board and all this stuff. And she didn't even do all the things that the doctors were telling her. So you know it was God. I'm not joking. She was just like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I can't do this. I'm not doing that. Like, no, you're going to live and not die. One person out of the whole system. Glory to God, because your prayers are powerful, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, because there's an exceeding greatness, an immeasurable greatness, power in you, and you have the green light. You have the green light. So we've seen the condition, and now we have to have courage to step out in faith, to say those things, to do those things, to be the outstretched hand, if you feel the unction from God's spirit telling you, like, hey, it's very natural. Can I pray for you? You know what? I don't know if I've ever had somebody say no. Now that I think about it, really think about it. Out of all these years that I've asked if I could pray for people, whether it was at work or just randomly somewhere, I can't think of one time where someone said, no, please don't pray for me. Can I pray for you? No, absolutely not. Something good might happen because this stuff that I'm experiencing right now is amazing. No one's ever said no. I always say, sure. And then when I actually start praying, they're like, whoa. I mean, I'm not saying that I can do that because they think, yeah, he's going to go home and pray for me. Which you do that too. But it's funny. You're like, can I pray for you? And they're like, sure, that's awesome. And they start walking away. I'm like, no. I mean, like right now. Okay. They want prayer. They want to be invited to church. We're the ones that are overthinking this thing. We're the ones that are, you know, oh, well, maybe is this the Lord's will? Yes, it's the Lord's will. You have the green light. Go forth, prosper. Is God's will? Yes, prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Is it God's will to heal? Yes, it says that healing is the children's bread. So he said, in verse 18, he says, we got to have courage. We got to have courage to step out. Then I told him of the good hand of God, which was upon me, and the king's words that has spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work, and they rebuilt it. In our lives, as a church, as a body, as individuals, we come together. This is special. There's an anointing here because we're here together. Thank God for all the people watching online. But if you can come, come. Like Pastor said, there's a power. He inhabits the praises of his people. You go out of here, I want you to go out with a smile, go out with a shout, knowing, God, what is coming up this week? This is exciting. I don't want you to go to this week like, oh man, I gotta go to work. Time to put that garden in again. You should be excited. Fresh vegetables. I'm not very good at growing the fruits, but I don't know why the bell peppers never seem to work out for me either, but the tomatoes are on fire. Try to learn from Mr. Garden himself back there. I'm a student. My thumb is not even close to green. But we have the green light. We have the green light. So we have the condition. We have the courage. And we need the confidence. Let's go back to Matthew real quick. Matthew chapter 8. I love this. It's one of my favorite passages. Thinking about the centurion. 8 verse 8. It says, Lord, I am not worthy you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. First, we got to recognize the condition. Think about our surroundings. Think about who you have influence over. Reach out to somebody. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a friend. Don't be afraid to recognize the condition. People are always sharing their problems. Think about it. Well, guess what? You have an answer, because greater is he that is in you. We're not going to cast away our confidence because he said it has a great reward. A great reward. So we're hearing his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then we're actually putting it into action in our lives. We're allowing God to roll the stone away. He's going to do his part. He's the one that put it in us. It's not based upon our works. It's not based upon your performance. And that's another one of the biggest lies of the enemy, is that, oh, you're just not good enough this week. Don't expect me to answer your prayers until you're perfect. Condemnation, right? Well, if you just were better, this would have went well for you. But you blew it. So you're going to have to wait a few years. Oh, no, which that was really bad. It's going to be a while before you can actually make an impact. Share some good news. Tell somebody about the Lord. You don't want to do that because they're going to look at you and they're going to laugh. Oh, you want to tell me about the Lord? Look at your life. It's not about our personal performance. Yes, by grace we're saved. God is changing us from the inside out. He's renewing us every day. We renew our mind so that we don't allow the enemy to have power over us, because there is a struggle of power between your spirit and the things of this world. And something that just keeps coming up is just the fact that we have a choice every moment when we hear these thoughts and intentions that are contrary, to understand that the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal. So we're not fighting with natural weapons. We're not fighting with guns and rockets and all these different things in the natural. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God. Mighty. And we can cast down vain imaginations. Where does it all start? As a thought. All these different things come at you and I constantly. Constantly. Is that really the Lord's will? Is that really what he's calling you to do? Is he really want you to do that? Is he really want you to have a great marriage, great family, prosperous business, great job, be an influence in your community, in your family? Oh, well, you know. No, these thoughts constantly. Fear, doubt, unbelief to try to put chains on you and hold you back. But the Son, it says, if the Son therefore shall what? Yeah, set you free, you shall be free indeed. We're not behind the stone. He's rolled the stone away. He's filled us. He says that same power. Everybody say same power. Same power. I still can't quite wrap my head around this. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power. I'm like, what? I don't know about you. It's hard for me to try to even wrap my head around it. One of my friends at work, he has these one-liner sayings. I think I told Pastor one time. He says, it really makes sense if you don't think about it. And it's true. Why do we have to overthink it? It's in his word. He said, this is it. This is such and so. He says, don't come over to my house. Matthew chapter 8. He says, don't come over to my house, but speak the word only. Don't take a thought saying, take his word, declare it, speak it. Know that in confidence that you're going to see it come to pass. He says, I'm a man under authority and having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. Another, come, and he comes. Do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he said, verily, verily, I say to you, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. Great faith, Jesus described, was the fact that he understood the power of the spoken word. He understood Jesus' authority, and he knew if Jesus said it, that's it. What are the promises? Close your eyes for a minute. Think about the promises that you know that God has made to you, for your family, for your future, for your legacy, for your children's children, the things that God has placed on your heart. I'm here to tell you this morning, they're not trapped behind the wall of stone. It's not gonna be something. This is resurrection power. This is a season that we're walking into as a church, as a body, that we're gonna see those things come to pass. Not because we're waiting, because we're doing. Because we're actively pursuing him and we're allowing the greatness of his power, the immeasurable greatness of his power, the same power. Everybody say same power. That same power in us to go forth and do what he's called us to do. The spoken word. So when you start feeling, how can we apply this? How can we share these laws of learning, these different cone and understanding? How can we apply this in our life? We just heard a powerful testimony this morning. Going to discipleship class, you're learning and applying, you're applying these principles, and you're going out and doing it. It wasn't for in the church. We come here so that we can go out with a shout and share the good news. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. What does that mean? It's God's goodness that brings them to him. He goes out looking, he says, I'm going out for looking for the one lost sheep. I'm going out. I want more. We're ambassadors for his glory. We go out with him. He walks with us. He walks and he speaks through us. He touches through us. I can't even count how many times that God's healed somebody just because it was just simple obedience. And guess what? You know how many that he didn't heal? All the ones that I never prayed for. Not one that I ever prayed for that I didn't do what he asked me to do because I was too busy or whatever. And I'm pointing at myself. I don't want anyone to feel that. I'm just telling you, being honest with you this morning, I didn't always say, yeah, okay, Lord, let's go. Sometimes I'm like, maybe that's not the Lord. Pretty busy right now. I got to get this material to the job site. I got this going on. There's all these people in line. I'm going to go over here. Excuses. It's okay. Well, but I'm not going to sit around in condemnation because I did that. It says he is, 1 John 1:9, what? He is faithful and just. Just as much as we need to be forgiving to others, we need to forgive ourselves. We're not perfect. He's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is no joy, there's no feeling like being cleansed by the power of God. Father, this morning, as we sit, as we speak, as those here, Father, let your cleansing power, Lord, we confess, we're not perfect. We thank you, Lord, that you identify things in our lives that we can deal with so that you can walk in power, that you can cleanse us. Lord, we renew our minds by the washing of the water of the word. We read your word, we enjoy your word. And Father, I thank you this morning that you're cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That's practicing his word in prayer. As you pray, you're praying his word. That's practicing, that's application. Because I was praying God this morning as I was getting even more, just getting ready for the message, like, Lord, how can we do more application learning while we're in church? They used to call it Sunday school. No one wants to call it Sunday school anymore because people don't like going to school. Learning is work. It's work to learn, to study, to be diligent. But we set up good habits. We set up the processes. We set up things. Brenna's got a program out right now, and I hear her talking about a lot during her some of her conversations is that you have certain things that do the heavy lifting for you, which means that there's pre-established things in place that you don't have to continue to do the work, but something else does it for you. Why is it that so many times we want to do the Lord's part? I can't do his part. He's doing the heavy lifting. My part is obedience. My part is like, okay, Lord, you said it. I recognize the condition. I know that I have the green light. I'm going to just stir up the courage, stir up the confidence, because it's not me doing the lifting. It's not me doing the healing. It's not me doing the miracles. It's not me setting captives free. It's not me getting them born again. It's not me doing any of it. He's doing the heavy lifting. He's the one who says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. When you find yourself in a position where you're in anguish, your chest is tight, you feel the pressure of anxiety or fear or whatever it is that's holding you back, realize that you can cast your cares on him. He says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but we got to recognize the condition. We have to recognize the condition of what's happening, that these thoughts and intentions that are contrary to God are trying to come against me and stop me from walking in that immeasurable greatness of his power. Walking in my purpose, stepping out of that place where I've surrounded myself, not on purpose. Sometimes we find ourselves in this cave position and we don't realize it until we're trapped. And then stone's in the way. But he's doing the heavy lifting. The stone was so huge that they were just like, how is anybody ever, it's still one of the biggest controversial things throughout history. Jesus changed the calendar. They're trying to switch it up in schools now, you know, it's not before Christ anymore. They have some other terminology for it, but it changed the world and we believe it. How much more, if he's able to do that, raise him from the dead, that same power in us, how much more can he do in and through us? I'm excited about it because I feel like we're just scratching the surface as a church. Are we doing bad? No, we're doing awesome. God has blessed us, blessed this church, blessed us. I'm excited. I don't want you to think that I'm down about where we're at. I just know that there's more, a lot more. And I believe that the Bible says in the last days, we're gonna see a lot of exciting things. And it's gonna happen because you and I, the people of God, the children of God, are going to be walking with his power like never before. Are we willing to receive it? Are we willing to walk in it? Do we believe it? Are we going to recognize the condition, have the courage and confidence to do what he's asking us to do? I believe we do. I believe we do. We have the green light. He's doing the heavy lifting. His part is the hard part. But we have to be able to forgive ourselves. We have to be able to forgive others. We have to be able to understand that it's not you and I doing all this work, but we have to be able to put our confidence in him that he's doing the heavy lifting. He's doing his part, but he can't do his part if I don't do mine. And so when I looked around and I looked back and over the years and think about all the great things God has done, I also recognize that God can't do anything in a situation where I didn't do my part. So I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging myself to say, hey, all I gotta do is my part. He's gonna do the heavy lifting. He's doing the miracles by the power of his Holy Spirit. He's setting the captives free. He's healing the sick, recovery of sight to the blind. He's doing everything he was doing. Healing the brokenhearted. Who does it? He does. But I have to do my part and just step out and say, hey, you know, like I said, you're hearing people talk all the time. You're hearing all the problems, all the situations they're in, families in, hospitals. I mean, that's why we have a prayer list, because we want to pray and be in agreement. It's powerful. We're not gonna just sit back. We've recognized the condition and we know we can do something about it. That's why it's powerful. We talk about school boards and all these different things, and you hear all the stuff going on. But God is a God of demonstration and power. He's alive. This is not a religion. It's a relationship with him. And there's no thing on earth that is more exciting than watching God work through your life and your family's life. And I know as pastor, like for me personally, seeing God move in other people and move through other people's lives is more exciting than anything else I've ever experienced in my life. It's the best. Watching God heal people, watching God touch people, watching God save people, set people free. It's awesome. It what he says, it's better to be the give than receive. When you watch God touch people, you're giving, you're sharing, you're just like, you don't, when you look around and you see what you have, you might not have anything, but guess what? He doesn't need it. It's coming from him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. And it's just gonna go right through you, right out. Here we go. And we're looking around. Okay, well, what do I have to give? All right. What I've got is nothing. But what did they say? They went walking. Went walking by the beautiful gate. See the crippled man. Hey, we don't really have what you are looking for. But we got something better than that. We might not be able to meet all people's physical, personal, financial needs, but he can and he will do greater than what they think that they need. Greater. Guess what? He didn't have to worry about asking for money anymore because he got his full health restored. He's not crippled anymore. He can go get a job. Amen. Amen. All right. As we wind this down together, I want to keep you all day. And you guys got green beer to drink and all that stuff. I hope not. Red beer, no, just kidding. No, but our carnal mind, its power struggle, is going to try to limit you on what you can do. And that's why it's so critical that we understand his word. His word is that foundation for everything in our life. I see so many people, and I've heard this, and I'm excited about it because I feel like it's going to be an open door, and I haven't been able to walk through it yet, but I hear this a lot, that I wish, like especially with parents with kids and things like that, I hear people say, I wish that there was a manual on how to live life, on how to raise kids, on how to be happy, on how to be successful, on how to prosper. And I'm just like, oh, there's a manual. There's a manual. There is a manual. And it's been around for a long time. But people think it's outdated. But it's alive. This manual is alive and works today. It's working in my marriage. It's working in my family. Are we perfect? Heck no. Do we argue? Yes. Am I always right? No. No. Do I think I am? Yeah. But there's a manual. Woo. There's a manual for your success, for your family, for your children, for your future, for your legacy, for his glory, and for his word to go forth, for his anointing to break yokes of bondage, do miracles, signs and wonders, and set people free. Woo! Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me. Whew. You might be here today and you're thinking, man, this guy's out of his mind. Guess what? Come back next week. Pastor will be back in the pulpit. Please. I'm just a guest. Father, I thank you today as we have our heads bowed. Lord, your number one thing, Lord, is that you wanted to seek out and save those who are lost, those who are so many searching for truth. Maybe there's one here today with your heads bowed and your eyes are closed and you say, you know what? As wild as that message was, I know that God has a plan and purpose for me. I believe that I can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. I believe that God has more for my life and I don't want to look back. Maybe that's you and you're here today and you're just like, you know what? I know this is my time. This is time for me to live my resurrected life. This is time for me to walk out of this cave. I've recognized today that God has rolled the stone away and I can walk out of this oldness, moldy, crusty, dingy cave, moisture and mildew of my life and walk into the newness, fresh. The sun is shining, grass is blooming, all kinds of beautiful things going on. And God has that for me. If that's you today and you say, no, say, you know what? I don't know about my past, but I know there's got to be a better future in Christ Jesus. And you say, you know what? I know God's calling me today. If that's you, just put your hand. I'm not gonna embarrass anybody today, but just anybody else. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, all of you. We're gonna pray this prayer together. Go ahead and put your hands down. If you guys will all pray this with me, just say, Father, I come to you today. I confess my sins. I'm leaving them all in the past. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm gonna live for him for the rest of my life. Thank you for calling me, for finding me and setting me free. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Give yourselves a hand. You'll never be the same if you choose to never be the same. It's just the beginning. Don't look back. The cave is not a cozy place. You've driven by them. You've seen them. Nobody wants to live in one. No one wants to be in one. You're going to notice as you're walking through your life, you're going to notice more and more people are hiding out in caves and they just need someone to invite them out. Come on out. Guess what? I know it looks like a huge barrier, it looks like a huge stone in the way, but God did the heavy lifting. He already did that. He wants to remove the scales. He wants to remove the chains. He wants to set people free so that they can have peace, joy. I love Nehemiah chapter 8, I think it's verse 10. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you're feeling weak and when you don't recognize what's going on in your life, stir up the joy. We say, well, how do I do that? I'm down. I tell myself, get happy. What's wrong with you? The greater one's on the inside of me. And then you don't allow yourself to stay down too long. You know, there's times where we are grieving, we're down, we're sad, but you know what? That's not a permanent place. Just like that stoplight. It's not gonna last forever. Most of the time it's what? It's a green light. So take the time and allow God to clean that up. Bow your heads for one more moment. It's just the beginning for those of you who are taking those steps. Maybe some of you is the first time. Maybe it's just a recommitment for others. We want to pray for you at the end. So, you know, don't hesitate to leave. If you want prayer for something, we'll definitely pray. We'll have people up here that can help pray for you for healing your body. But Father, I just thank you right now. Lord, you're doing something special today. You are gearing your people up for this resurrected lifestyle. Lord, it's not spooky. It's not weird. Lord, it's natural. Lord, you walk in and through your people. It makes sense when we don't think about it, Lord. We just trust you. We believe you. We follow after your word. We build our house upon the rock of your word. So we thank you this morning for that. Lord, right now as we're speaking, I just thank you right now that your healing virtue is flowing. Hallelujah. If you need healing in your body this morning, I mean, somebody feel like it's their left knee. I'm so thankful because I've just seen God do the heavy lifting so many times and he gets all the glory because it has nothing to do with us. He does the heavy lifting. He's the healer. He's the provider. He's the one who sets captives free. He's the one who does miracles, signs and wonders. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Father, I thank you this morning that you're touching bodies right now. Have the heart condition. I just thank you for that right now. Lord, I thank you for healing virtue. I thank you that you know how to reconnect. Lord, I thank you that you are the controller of the electricities in our bodies. Lord, that you designed us to function in a certain way. So I thank you for that. I come against those spurs in the back right now in their spine that are causing pain and impingement. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, right now. I speak against the pressure in the head, the headache, the pressure that's coming from the sides of their temples, Lord. Right now, I just thank you, Lord, that you're releasing that pressure by your spirit, Lord, that you can do only what you can do. Lord, those things that the physicians have said are impossible and you're gonna have to live with it. Lord, I thank you that We believe the report of the Lord. We don't believe everything that we hear, but Lord, we believe what you say. So we thank you right now for touching those people. And we give you glory for it. And if there's something that I haven't said that you know, I'm telling you there's an anointing from God and his love to you right now. Whatever it is that you've been fighting against, you're dealing with, just allow him to touch that right now. That shoulder, right shoulder injury. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow, that one was powerful. Not that they're not all powerful, they're all powerful, but I could, that one was just special. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we give you all the glory for it this morning. If anybody needs extra prayer or some agreement for something, we're going to ask you to go ahead and come up. But Pastor, you want to come and say goodbye to everybody? Amen. Come on up, Pastor. Thank you.